Hello everyone, my name is Stephen Jimenez, and I'd like to welcome you all to our radio documentary series, Teenage Kicks. Today, we will discuss the topic of underage smoking. It's the most addictive habit in society to date. It's estimated one in every two smokers will die of a tobacco-related disease. 83% of smokers regret starting. However, like most addictive substances, they can't seem to nip the habit in the bud. Many started as teenagers, who were simply victims of peer pressure. And even today, for many young people, it causes problems.
Well, do you want to smoke?
No, Gran, I don't smoke.
I'll go on, just to be social.
No, I've seen online what it does to you.
And you can't believe everything you read online.
I don't know. It's not really my thing.
Oh, the two of them are taking one and they're grand.
Fine, but only one.
Good woman.
We interviewed Lao TD and president of Sinn Féin, Gerry Adams, to try and understand his views around smoking and if the proposed tobacco-free Ireland initiative is achievable.
I commend the government which brought in the smoking ban. I used to smoke myself, although I haven't smoked in a very, very long time. It's an addiction, so it is very difficult. And it was young people mostly. It was my son who put me off smoking. There was a whole education done with a whole group of young people. Most people of my age, smoking was a socially desirable thing to do. But then it came to the point where young people discovered how bad it was. So young people put pressure on their elders and on their parents and so on. So the ban on smoking, which doesn't stop people from smoking, but makes it more difficult for people to smoke all the time, but particularly saves other people from becoming affected by what they call passive smoking. I think that was a very good initiative. Michelle O'Neill, who is health minister in the north, has been exploring and examining ways of banning advertisements and so on in relation to smoking. One of our MEPs, Martina Anderson, has been campaigning very, very hard on all of that. So I think we need to continue. Education is at the core of it.
Do you feel that the government are doing enough and that the proposed tobacco-free Ireland initiative is achievable by 2025?
It is, but again, it's a big job of standing up to the tobacco companies, and they're a very, very powerful lobby. But it's also a matter of education, and we need to be, you know, by being very mindful of the damage and effects of tobacco, we need to be also conscious that it is very, very addictive. It is very hard to stop smoking if you're hooked on it. So you have to provide people with the ways and means and supports to do that. There's no point the government setting targets and then not putting in the supports, the protocols or the resources to achieve those targets.
Mr. Adams touched on some very interesting points, such as how tobacco companies are very extensive organisations, and also how the fight for a tobacco-free Ireland would be a tough and lengthy process. I met with Kevin Moran, who's the manager at the Dundalk Youth Centre, to try and understand what the situation is like on the ground and how the problem has changed for the better or worse. Is smoking a major problem for young people?
Yes, I think smoking is a problem for young people because we're seeing quite a lot of young people taking up smoking at an earlier age than they used to. And the second problem, I think, is that smoking has become more accessible for young people because of the trend towards cheaper versions of cigarettes that are on the market at the minute. So, for example, young people are buying packets of tobacco, which are quite easily available and cheap enough to be able for them to afford them. And that's allowing them to enter into the whole smoking at a very early age. And we're now in a position where we're seeing a lot of young people, particularly young girls, taking up smoking at an early age. And that's a serious problem.
What, from your knowledge, is more widely used? Cigarettes or the electronic cigarettes known as vapes?
We haven't seen very much vapes at all now among young people, probably because of the cost of them. But we'd see still quite a number of young people who are smoking. Probably maybe, say, 20% of young people probably still smoke.
A group from the Dundalk Youth Centre took part in the Irish Cancer Society's Exhale project. What type of a reaction did the young people give you from taking part in that competition?
Yeah, so for the last 3 years, the centre has been involved in the Exhale programme, and it's about creating a film to make people aware of the issues around smoking. So last year was probably the most successful year, where the young people made a film around how young people can be dependent on cigarettes. And it was this character called Siggy, and he basically followed the young person around the whole time. And every time the young person turned around, Siggy was there, reminding the young person to take a cigarette. And it was about the process the young person would have of getting rid of Siggy, and but putting other things in their life to try and stop them smoking. And it was very successful, and it went down very well with the judging panel, and it came second overall in the country. So the young people got a prize and award in Dublin, and the film was shown in the Lighthouse Theatre in Dublin as well.
From knowledge I had acquired due to research whilst making this documentary, cigarettes were almost freely available, especially to young people, with some shops even selling them as single cigarettes. Today, it also causes many problems for young people due to peer pressure, to act cool, and to be in the gang.
Well, what's the story?
Not so much, what about you?
I was out on Friday and smoked for the first time.
What's it like?
Bit weird at first, but after a few get used to it. Do you want one?
Sure, why not? How bad could it be?
I don't know, is that the best idea?
Nothing wrong with it, no one will find out anyway.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Nah, I'm okay, but Kathy, you sure about this?
Stop overreacting, it's only one cigarette.
Why are you so concerned? You're not going to tell anyone, are you?
Right, if you're not going to take one, just leave.
Right, I'm away. Have fun.
To learn more about this, I got talking to Hugh McKittrick, a fellow broadcaster of Dundalk FM. He spoke to me about the history of smoking in our society, pre-smoking ban. Hugh, you're just here today to talk to us a wee bit about smoking, pre-smoking bans. Could you just give us a bit of an insight into what that was like? Because I'm aware you could smoke in buildings and such, so could you just give us a wee bit of an understanding of that?
Yes, I can. You being a young fellow wouldn't have experience of that, but before the year 2002, I think it was, or 2004, and could be either, you could smoke anywhere, really. But then the ban came in of not smoking in enclosed places. It means that places that are enclosed, and you have to, in some places you can't smoke outside pubs where there are three walls, but there's four walls, you couldn't smoke. But I remember smoking all right, and I gave them up in about the year 2000. It was a bit of effort, as it is, to remove that craving from your mind and your body. And the way I did it was I pictured this cell in my head, which said to me, I need a cigarette. And I said, OK, I'm going to control you instead of you controlling me. So I did that, and between going for long walks and taking a break from everything, I got rid of the craving and became a non-smoker.
And Hugh, do you think it was a benefit that the smoking ban came in?
Well, I think everybody would say that, because I know now you go into a public house, for example, and it's fresh air and it's cleaner and you don't have the presence of smoke. And it's funny, when you don't have the presence of smoke, whenever smoke is introduced, it's a very acrid smell. And you can smell it straight away, even if it's coming in from outside into the building. So yes, definitely a good thing.
And do you think there should be a similar ban on the e-cigarettes or vapes?
Well, that remains open so far. I think there is a vapor from them. They're called vapes, right? So there is a vapor from them. And if you're sitting in a place which is enclosed and somebody's blowing that vapor in your face, it's not very pleasant. But at the same time, it is a substitute for people who can't give them up. So I'm 50-50 on it.
Judging by what Hugh had told me, I saw how this ban had become such a benefit to Irish and European society. I then tried to understand what the overall effects of smoking have on our young people. I got talking to the Cancer Prevention Officer at Irish Cancer Society, Sarah Chadwick, who told us the facts surrounding smoking.
So, hi Stephen, thanks for having me. My name's Sarah Chadwick. I'm a Cancer Prevention Officer with the Irish Cancer Society. I work within the Cancer Prevention Department. And what I do is I run community programmes that help people reduce their risk of cancer. And one of the main programmes that I work on is called Exhale, which is a youth smoking prevention programme.
For what reasons would young people smoke?
Yeah, I suppose there's a whole host of different reasons why young people would smoke. I suppose first and foremost, it's important to note that the majority of young people actually don't smoke. So the Health Behaviours of School Children study gives us an indication of how many young people in Ireland are smoking between the ages of 10 to 17, and it's done every 4 years. And the latest figures from 2014 are showing that the youth smoking among 10 to 17-year-olds is at 8%, which is an all-time low, which is absolutely brilliant. But that being said, said, in some communities there are much higher rates, and among older young people from the 18 to 24 bracket, rates are still higher. So there still is more work to be done.
How would the Irish Cancer Society find out statistics on young people that smoke?
The European Schools Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs is one of the best sources of information that we have in Ireland about the reasons why those young people that do smoke smoke, and the factors that influence them. So, as you would expect, a young person's background, where they're from, where they live, and their environment is a big indicator on whether they smoke or not. So children who are from less affluent backgrounds or lower socioeconomic backgrounds are more likely to smoke. And similarly, your social circle affects whether you smoke. So if you're surrounded by friends, family, siblings that smoke, young people are more likely to smoke themselves as well. So I suppose it's about what they would perceive as normal and, the done thing in their environment.
Would family members be a big influence on young people to start smoking?
I suppose looking at that as well in terms of social relationships, this SPAD study found that if young people feel that they're not supported by their parents and that they don't have a good relationship with their parents, this can also increase their risk of using tobacco. And along the same lines, I suppose, if a young person then gets involved in using other substances, so like cannabis or alcohol, they're more likely to smoke as well. Looking at, I suppose, some of the other influences then as well in the environment, so the media and tobacco industry also has an influence on young people's decisions in probably a way that they wouldn't have thought about before. So there's lots of research emerging to support that smoking in movies and among celebrities is actually a big influence on young people, and that they wouldn't even think about because it's obviously happening in the background, influencing you when you don't even realise it.
Do you think that young people have this big notion that they're invincible, and that if they smoke, that the effects won't take hold of them until like a later stage when they're older and they have plenty of time to quit?
Yeah, I suppose, you'd think nowadays most people are aware that smoking is very bad for you, and the WHO cites smoking as the leading cause of preventable death. But I suppose for young people, they would often think that, like you'd said, the effects of smoking are down the line and won't affect them for a long time. Whereas the truth is that every cigarette is doing a young person damage, both in the short term and in the long term. So in the short term, some of the factors that come into play. So it causes coughing, shortness of breath, and increased chest infections. And a lot of these symptoms are things that a young smoker mightn't actually attribute to their smoking, but they are setting them up to have poor lung health and then maybe experiencing symptoms of lung cancer and diagnosis later down the line. And in terms of aesthetic things about the way you look and your appearance, it also causes bad breath, which is not very pleasant and not very appealing and not very attractive. Earlier onset wrinkles in the skin, duller skin, and as well as that around endurance and sports performance. So it causes shortness of breath, like I mentioned before, and makes it harder to recover after exercise.
Do you see smoking as the thing that young people would say is cool and makes them look a wee bit hip and that? Would you say that that's the notion that they take towards trying cigarettes?
Exactly, yeah. So it's something, I suppose, that it can often be portrayed as glamorous, but in reality the effects of smoking are not glamorous. So as well as the effects short term on your looks and on your fitness and your health, in the long term we know it increases the risk of 14 different types of cancer, which is quite significant, including lung cancer. In terms of other types of cancer, would be breast and bowel, and a whole host of other different types of cancers can be affected. Lung cancer, they've attributed up to around 85% of lung cancers are due to smoking. There are instances where people would be affected by lung cancer when they're not smoking, but they are few and far between, and secondhand smoking as well. As well as the effects of cancer, it reduces life expectancy by 10 to 15 years, and we know the very well-known statistic that 1 in 2 smokers will die because of their habit.
What sort of impacts would smoking have on young people?
I suppose health impacts are the one that we'd hear a lot about, but when you look into it, there's other impacts for young people. So I suppose one of the main ones being the cost. So it's a very expensive habit for young people that mightn't have a lot of disposable income. So a 20 a day habit would cost about $4,000 a year. When you add that up that would be 60 pairs of Converse or, you know, a luxury holiday. So when you think of it that way, you know, it really is, I suppose, a waste of scarce cash for young people. Not alone that, in terms of financial impact, it's also a social impact. So it can affect a young person's relationships, you know, with their friends, potentially if their friends are, you know, non-smokers and they're smokers and they don't want to be smoking around them, or if there's a peer pressure situation. Also in teachers and in schools, you know, if you're breaking rules and, you know, smoking in places that you shouldn't be. Again, with parents, if parents are, you know, unhappy about a young person smoking, that can cause tensions within family life as well. And you'd often see that the other way around as well, where a parent smokes and a child isn't happy about it, and it can cause tensions that way as well.
How could a young person get information about staying smoke-free or from stopping smoking?
If young people are looking for information or support about staying smoke-free or quitting, the HSC Quit campaign have a number of different ways you can get in touch. So through the website, which is www.quit.ie, and through tech support, which is 50100, and through phone, which is 1-800-201-203. So we'd really encourage, I suppose, young people to use those supports if they do need them, if they are thinking about quitting smoking. Here in the Irish Cancer Society, we also have our cancer nurse line, which anybody can ring for free information from a specialist cancer nurse in relation to signs or symptoms, if there's anything you're worried about. And also in relation to cancer prevention information. So that number is 1-800-200-700. So as well as, I suppose, the supports that are there at a national level in terms of policies and campaigns and information provision, there's also lots of other supports for young people. So spunout.ie is a great I suppose outlet for young people to get youth friendly information about health. So it's the National Youth Health Information site, and they have a whole host of articles on there, some of them written by young people themselves about smoking. So everything from articles about social smoking to experiences from young people that have recently quit smoking. So it's definitely encourage your listeners to check out spunout.ie for information about their smoking articles.
You work a lot around the project Exhale. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so Exhale is our youth smoking prevention and education initiative, which we've been rolling out here in the Irish Cancer Society since 2011. So the programme gives young people within organisations across Ireland the chance to explore a range of different smoking topics. So everything from exploring their own opinions and attitudes around smoking to talking about peer pressure and how you can counteract it, the power of the tobacco industry and the influence of the media, and the impact of smoking on the environment. So it tries to work through these topics in an engaging way, using youth-friendly resources and approaches, so that it's interesting and, you know, not boring for young people to learn about. I suppose what sets Exhale apart from other youth smoke education initiatives is that the young people share what they learn about the dangers of tobacco with their peers, with other young people, by making a film. So they pick a particular topic that really they feel other young people need to hear about, and they make a film for their peers that encourages them not to smoke. And that's entered into the Exhale Short Film Competition, which is an initiative that we run every year. Within the short film competition, that's how we work. We engage with young people. We also provide training for the youth workers so that they are confident in talking about smoking with the young people they work with, and that they feel that they can start a conversation with the young people about these topics and facilitate them and support them to you know, further their learning and make their film in the end. So for them to become the advocates themselves.
Is there any evidence of young people using electronic cigarettes or vapes in preference to tobacco?
Yeah, so e-cigarettes, I suppose, are becoming a bigger issue among young people. So the study that I mentioned previously, the ESPAD study, found that 23% of 15 to 16 year olds had ever used an e-cigarette, which is quite significant. In the Irish Cancer Society at the moment, our position on e-cigarettes would be that we don't have enough information on the health effects of e-cigarettes. They haven't been around long enough to know you know, what the full impact of them is. You know, we know that they don't contain tobacco, but inhaling the vapor could potentially have other impacts. And there is also nicotine in the majority of the cigarettes. You know, and what we would say is that we want young people to be free from addiction and to live, you know, a happy life without those I suppose issues that addiction brings along. So it's something that we are open to seeing the research that emerges on e-cigarettes, but at the moment there's no evidence to show that it's helpful for as a method to help to support someone to quit. So we know that there's nicotine replacement therapy and behavioural support. We know from research very strongly documented that those are things that are proven to help someone quit. So you're twice as likely to quit with nicotine replacement therapy and another two times more likely to quit with behavioural support, so four times with those combined methods. And we don't have that information for e-cigarettes yet. So there's some information, it's some, I suppose, indication that some people may have found it useful and that, you know, some people may switch to smoking and using e-cigarettes. But at the moment, I suppose it's a very unknown and new area. But, you know, as I said, our position on it would be to encourage young people to be free from nicotine addiction.
It's clear to me that tobacco is probably the most lethal legal product available to the general public. And although there has been a dramatic decrease in young people who smoke, it continues to be a major problem among the general population.
I also spoke to Samantha Tedder to find out how long cigarettes had been around and when the dangers of smoking first became apparent.
Well, they've been around since the 1840s, cigarettes have, and it was only in the 1950s that it was found how many addictive properties were in them and the different chemicals that's in cigarettes. You would know, being a peer educator, we go through the different chemicals that are in cigarettes, and like formaldehyde would be one, tar, there's all sorts of different chemicals in it. And I think that's part of the reason is why they were seen as, in the 50s, they were seen as cool and you were sophisticated if you smoked, etc. Whereas now I think it is in a different view. But going back to the e-cigarettes or vapes, I find that there's a lot of young people who never smoked have started using the e-cigarettes or vapes because they think they look cool, etc. when using them.
Samantha, there's been a drastic increase in young people that smoke rolling tobacco. Why do you think this is the case?
My views on that are the young people, first of all, rolling your own is cheaper. So, of course, that's going to save them money. And they think because they're rolling their own, they're putting less tobacco in. Sure, that's healthier for them. Where, in fact, it's kind of not as healthy. If you look on a pack of rolling tobacco or any other product that's sold for the tobacco, it will not tell you how much tar or other carbon monoxide, etc. is in them. Whereas with a packet of cigarettes, it will. And that can be kind of an issue as well, in that you don't exactly know what you're getting in them. But to me, cigarette would contain a normal proper cigarette out of a cigarette box would contain a certain amount of chemicals, whereas if you're rolling your own, you're not sure exactly what's in them.
Speaking to a group of young people from the town of Dundalk, we asked them what they thought of smoking, why is it such a big problem, and how it could be prevented from carrying on and leading to a rise in smokers.
Anyway, I think like smoking is like very popular among like people our age, and it's like say if you're on a night out and your friends are like, oh, just like have like a puff or just have one cigarette, you're most likely to do it. And I know those people are like, oh, I'd never have a cigarette, I'd never be like peer pressured into having one. But I think it's different like when you're in the position.
I think smoking personally is like a peer pressure thing, so it's a thing that a lot of people would take up just to fit in and to feel like part of the gang. And like, I think there's always like a ringleader within the group that like he's always ahead of the rest of them, and like, because that one person brings it in, then everybody takes it on then.
I think it's a big issue, but I think like recent, like say like in like when my granny was alive, smoking wasn't like a big thing. Like everyone smokes since they're like 14. So I think like over the years it's become more of a bigger thing. Like it's become like more of a bigger thing than like before.
Well, like as person one has said, like earlier, because I know personally, like my granddad started smoking at the age of 12, and like back then, like it was such like it was the norm to do, and like it was sort of like a classy thing nearly to do. But like kind of now, like it's not as good because like cancer and stuff, and like there's a lot more awareness out now, but it is still a big thing that needs to be like gone. from society?
I think vapes are good in the sense that people are coming off smoking, that they have like, they have a way to come off smoking, like, instead of going off it completely, because if you're addicted to something, you can't just come off it completely, you need to get off it like gradually. And I think that like vaping is good, but it's not good in the sense that there's lots of teenagers like vaping and just doing it for the fun. But then again, other teenagers, like, it's better in the end, it's better that we have teenagers vaping instead of smoking. So I think it's a good thing in a sense, but then also a bad thing.
I personally think that vaping is as bad as smoking. Like, I don't see the difference in it, because like, even though you might be able to smell it, like, I still think personally that can still cause cancer and other stuff.
I'd say, like, for someone who's, like, smoking, like, if you're smoking, like, I know people who smoke, like, a pack a day, like, they're my age, and I'd be like to them, like, quit smoking, or like, oh, no, like, I can't, like, I'm so addicted. Like, they're not so addicted, but they don't want to stop, and they are, like, addicted. So I'm just, like, maybe, like, cut back. Instead of, like, having, like, 12 a day, have, like, 10, and then the next day have, like, 9, and just do it regularly instead of going off it completely, because then your body would just want it more.
If I was to give advice, I'd say, like, don't care what other people think, what you do or don't, you're your own person. And if people do peer pressure you into it that you're so-called friends, then obviously they're not your friends.
Having heard the views from all of our contributors about the benefits of the smoking ban, I would hope that with initiatives such as the government's Tobacco-Free Ireland Bill and the HSE's continuing work with the Quit.ie programme, they will ultimately be the factors to end such a costly habit, both health-wise and financially. A study in the UK in 1993 found that 27% of the overall youth population aged 15 to 24 years did in fact smoke. It was estimated revenue generated from the sale of tobacco products to under 18s, which is illegal, stood at approximately £108 million. It also found that tobacco companies spent around £100 million on promotional activity, whereas the government spent only £10 million on anti-smoking campaigns. These figures are not thought to be very different in Ireland, apart from the fact that tax is higher and that health promotion spending is considerably lower. This study also found the reasons why young people started smoking. They are as follows. 34% said stress. 15% said to feel cool. 11% said to feel confident. 9% said addiction. And 3.3% said because a friend smoked. Although this may seem a daunting set of statistics, we must not forget those that we have interviewed in the run-up to this documentary, who work so hard to prevent underage smoking in whatever way they can. As far as electronic cigarettes are concerned, I would hope that a similar ban may come into effect. However, we must not forget the views of contributors such as Hugh McKittrick, who find it a great way for people who have smoked for their whole lives to get off them. In the run-up to this documentary, we also found out that our local youth centres and teenage discos do not allow smoking. I see this as a step forward in ultimately bringing underage smoking to an end. I'd like to sign off by thanking all of our contributors, team members, and especially the young people who have helped produce this documentary. It's bye from me, Stephen Jimenez. We'll be back with another documentary very soon.
You have been listening to Teenage Kicks, presented by Stephen Jimenez. Production supervisors, Mr. John Englishby and Dr. Alison Lennon. Sound engineer and producer is Paul O'Neill. Thanks to all the schools who took part in the documentary and all the contributors in order of appearance. Jerry Adams, TD. Kevin Moran, Dundalk Youth Centre. I need excitement, no, I need it. Hugh McKittrick, Dundalk FM. Sarah Chadwick from the Irish Cancer Society and Samantha Tether from Information and Education Programmes. This programme was funded by Sound and Vision from the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Hold her tight, get teenage kicks right through the night. with many thanks to Dundalk FM.